Some weeks, as a pastor, I wish you could follow me around and just sit where I sit to hear what different things that are going on in people's lives. And this was one of those weeks, and this is what inspired my message tonight. There are some people that we as a congregation know what's going on in their life because they've shared it with us. But there are a lot of people who come on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they smile, and they appear happy and appear to have joy in their life. And I'm sure they have the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory because they know the Lord. But if you knew what was going on in their life, if you knew what was going on behind the scenes, so to speak, that they really haven't shared with a lot of people, you would just marvel that they're keeping on keeping on. And so tonight I have sort of an unusual message. I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. I want to be I want you to know that the Lord doesn't want us to quit. The Lord doesn't want us to give up. The Lord wants to encourage us to just keep on keeping on. The Apostle Paul said there in the passage of Scripture that we read, he said, "Hey, I've forgotten everything in the past." And Paul had a lot to forget in his past. I mean, he was a persecutor of Christians. He did his best to wipe out the cause of Christ. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life turned around, all things became new, and he put the same zeal into serving Christ as he did to persecuting Christ. And he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so I've entitled my sermon tonight, "Never, Never, Never Turn Back." And I take that title from something that I read a year or so ago about Winston Churchill. Of course, you know him. Some of the kids may not realize who Winston Churchill was, but he was the Prime Minister of England during World War II and encouraged England with his dogged determination to never give up their fight against the Nazis and the other folks that were trying to overtake Europe. And after the war, he was asked to speak at his alma mater for a graduation ceremony. And he repeatedly, year after year, turned down the invitation. And the president of the college was just insistent. I mean, every year he would write him a letter, he would phone him, and ask him to speak at graduation. And one year, so the story goes, just to get this guy off his back so that he would quit asking him, Mr. Churchill agreed to speak. And, of course, the crowd that day for graduation was enormous. There were thousands of people that gathered to hear what this great leader was going to say. They called him the Savior of England because of what he did during the war. And so anticipation was high. People came expecting, to hear a great speech. And he was introduced, he stood and walked to the podium, and here's what he said: "Never, never, never turn back." And then he returned to his seat and sat down. That was his speech, his whole speech. Never, never, never turn back. There was a commander in World War I, a Frenchman named Marshal Foch. And he was in a battle in World War I, and it looked like the battle was lost. He called in a message. He says, "My center is giving away. My right is pushed back." And then he put in his message, "Situation excellent. I am attacking." Even though it looked like he was going to lose, he says, "I'm never, never, never going to give up." And he went on the attack. Let me read you about this man. And once I start, most of you will know who I'm talking about. I'll tell you in the end that if you don't. In 1831, he failed in business. In 1832, he was defeated for the legislature. In 1833, he failed in another business. In 1834, he was elected to the legislature. In 1835, his sweetheart died. In 1838, he was defeated for Speaker. In 1840, he was defeated for an elector. In 1843, he was defeated for Congress. In 1846, he was elected to Congress. In 1848, he was defeated for Congress. In 1855, he was defeated for Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for Vice President. In 1858, he was defeated for Senate. And in 1860, he was elected president. Abraham Lincoln. He said, "I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing it." In effect, he was saying the same thing that Churchill said, never, never, never turn back. My message is simple tonight. Never, never, never turn back. And again, I wish I could just share with you some of the things that are going on in our church family. Again, some of the things you know about, some of the things you don't. We have people that are sick and have been sick for a while, and the doctors cannot figure out what's going on. They'd run test after test after test. They continue to hurt. They continue to be in pain, and the doctors cannot tell them what's going on. We have some folks tonight that are financially in a tight place. They're making it, but barely. And they struggle from week to week wondering how they're going to make it. We have a couple people in our church that their mate has walked out on them. One of them has been divorced. She's still praying that God will heal their relationship and bring them back together. Others in our church have so many complications, I don't even know how to put them in words. I mean, when I go and talk to them, I tell them, I don't know what advice to give you. I wish I could give you some advice, but I have no idea to tell you what to do. I will pray for you, and I will pray that God will give us both wisdom as to what to do next. But there are people in our church, some of them are here tonight, that just need to be encouraged. They just need to be lifted up in prayer. They just need to know that God is still God and that they should never, never, never give up. The president of IBM said one time, "The secret to success is simply lasting one day longer." Just lasting one more day. Calvin Coolidge, our president, one time said, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are what's important." So Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Tonight, that's what I want to leave you with. Press on. Press on. Never, never give up. Keep on praying. Keep on working. Keep on believing. Keep on pressing. We've all heard the story of the rock in the middle of the river, and the water keeps running down the river. And you look at that and say, the river will never change the rock, never impact the rock, never affect the rock. But over the years, that water moves the rock. That water wears away at the rock. And God, I think tonight, would want us to know, never, never, never turn back. So I have 3 points tonight. Number one, never turn back in the time of battle. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There are some people tonight in a battle. And again, I've mentioned it. They're in a battle against sickness. They're in a battle against their finances. They're in a battle against in a relationship battle. They're in a battle fighting a habit. They're in a battle fighting an attitude. My counsel to you tonight is hang in there. Never turn back. Don't give up. On March 15th, 1915, the British Navy was attacking the Turks at a place called Dardanelles. There was a terrific battle. There were cannons on the shore, and they were firing at British ships that were in the sea. Three ships were sunk out of their armada. And finally, at noon, the British army said, there's no way we're going to win this war, so we're going to withdraw. And so they took their ships and sailed away from that place that they were attacking. What they didn't know was that the Turks only had a minute, 60 seconds of ammunition left. They were getting ready to raise the white flag. They were getting ready to surrender. And had the British endured for one more minute, for 60 more seconds, they would have had defeated the enemy in that battle, and the war that they were fighting would have ended a whole lot sooner. Napoleon said one time, in every battle, there's a 15-minute period where the battle could go either way. Wise is the general that knows when that 15-minute period is and throws everything he's got into the battle. They will be the winner. Now, again, you might be in a battle tonight. I might not even know about it. I mean, I know about more than you know because of because I'm the pastor. But you may be in a battle tonight that I don't even know about. I just want to tell you, hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. I mean, victory may be on the scene in the next 60 seconds. It may be there tomorrow. It may be there in the next week. Just don't give up. Hang in there. Never, never, never turn back. Booker T. Washington said, I have begun everything I have done with the idea I could succeed. Everything I started, he said, and again, he was an inventor. He's the one that did so many things with the common peanut, so many inventions from the peanut. And he said, everything I've started out to do, I believe that I could win. I believe that I could succeed. And so I tell you, just look around. All you have to make it is one more day. All you have to make it is one more minute. All you have to make it is one more second. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Jesus said, look, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day. We have enough worries for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just concentrate on today. Live for today. Make it today. Don't turn back today. God says, I know what you need. Look at the flowers. They don't spin and toil, but I clothe them. Look at the sparrows. They don't plant and sow and harvest, and I feed them. God says, I know what you need. Just trust me. Make it for one more day. Don't give up. Don't turn back. I remember, and I love to tell you, I know I've told you hundreds of times from this place about what Billy Sunday said about fighting the devil. The same thought. He says, as long as I have strength in my fist, I'll pound the devil for all I've got. As long as I have strength in my feet, I'll kick him with all I've got. And he said, when I get too old and I don't have any strength in my hands and I don't have any strength in my feet and all my teeth have fallen out, he says, I'll gum them for all I'm worth. And he was saying, I'm not never going to give up. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to turn back. So don't turn back in the time of battle. Point number two, don't turn back in the time of reversal. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There may come a time in your battle where you're going to say, hey, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know. I don't see any way that it looks like that we can win. I don't see how any way it looks like we can survive. I don't see any way that it looks like we're going to succeed. That's the time you need to stand. That's the time that you need to not quit. That's the time you need to just stay in the battle. Stay in the fight. Moses did not learn to become a great leader amid the luxuries of Egypt. He learned how to become a great leader in the wilderness. Joseph did not learn how to be second in command when he was at home, his father's favorite son. He learned how to be the man that he was in the pit, in the prison, in Potiphar's house. He learned what he needed, not when things were going good, but when things were going bad. Character is not built and matured by success and ease, but by sacrifice and persecution and hurt. Who was the greatest of the Greek poets? Homer, who was blind. Who wrote that wonderful story, Pilgrim's Progress? Not a pastor in his study, but a pastor that was arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was written in prison on paper milk tops, and he smuggled it out, a milk top at a time. I have always thought, man, that guy must have drunk a lot of milk to tell that whole story. Success does not come from ease. It comes from persecution. Pearls are made by oysters, not because they are creative artists, but because the grain of sand that starts the oyster is an irritation. The things which are uncomfortable to you today, the situations that you are in today, those situations that we would say, hey, I would never choose this for myself. I would never choose this for my children. I would never choose this for my family. I want you to realize tonight that may have been chosen for you by God. That may be God's plan for your life. And yes, I know sometimes he sends hurt. Sometimes he sends things into our life that we would choose not to endure at all. But I'll tell you tonight, and I could give you example after example after example, that it wasn't ease that brought a person closer to God. It was the hardship. It was the persecution. It was the things that were hurtful in life that drew them closer to God. So many times we want to take matters into our own hands and we want to say, I'm going to get out of this situation regardless of what it takes. And what we need to do is pray and say, God, did you send this situation into my life? Is there something I need to learn? Is there something that needs to be accomplished by this? You remember the Apostle Paul. He had that thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows what it was. Some think it was epilepsy and he kept having seizures. Some people think it was his eyesight. And he said, I asked God three times I asked him to take that thorn away from me. And each time God said, no, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, I'm not going to ask him anymore. I'm going to glory in my tribulation because in my tribulation comes strength. So never, never, never give up. Never turn back in the time of battle. Never turn back in the time of reversal. Oliver Holmes, a famous lawyer, said, if I had a formula for bypassing trouble, I wouldn't pass it around because I wouldn't be doing anybody a favor. Trouble creates a capacity that we can handle more. You don't get stronger on the mountaintop. You get stronger down in the valley. I read a survey of salesmen. It said that 80% of sales are made after the fifth call. 48% of salesmen quit after the first call. 25% quit after the second call. 12% quit after the third call. 5% quit after the fourth call. Only 10% keep going after they've been rejected four times, and they enjoy 80% of the sales. So never, never, never turn back. Not in the time of battle, not in the time of reversal, and then number three, not in the time of success. Paul said, again, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know what the strange thing is? Many people can endure the battle. Many people can endure the valley. They can stand in time of reversal. But it's very few that can survive success. And again, I'll go back to what I said this morning. I've known church after church that when they were first starting out, when they were struggling, when they met in a rented place, when they had to do everything. I mean, they had to set up chairs every service. They had to wheel the piano in and wheel it out after they got done with the service. They barely met the budget, but they knew how to pray. They knew how to pray. They knew how to beg God for the things that they needed. Then God blesses. He gives them a nice building. They beat the budget. They have padded pews. They have a nursery. Instead of having the little ones in the back of the auditorium where every cry and every shout, you know, disturbs the service, they have a place where they can take the little ones and keep them busy during the sermon. They have a fellowship hall, and they have a kitchen. They have everything, you know, a piano and an organ. They have air conditioning. They turn it on sometimes when it gets hot, even. I see some of you fanning tonight. But anyhow, and what happens? What happens? They get to that point where they say, I've arrived. They get to that point using Paul's word, I have apprehended. We've got everything we need. We don't need God anymore. And church after church that gets to that point, they go down and they close. They go out of existence because they can't take success. They can't endure in success. They can't keep doing the same thing that led to success when they achieve success. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:16, a couple verses after our text tonight, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Paul says, hey, the thing that led to success, the thing that led you to win, keep doing that. Don't change. Don't change the program. Don't change what you're doing. The thing that led to your victory, the actions that led to your success, don't change them. Because if you change them, you're going to lose what you got. And so, when a church first gets started, they spend a lot of time in prayer. They beg God for His wisdom. They beg God for His provision. They beg God for His protection. Brother Wayne and I were talking at lunch. Carol was gone, and he was gracious enough to invite me to go to lunch with him. And we were talking at lunch. You know, every single one of us have had a time in our life where we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that we needed God. I mean, there was something so big going on in our life that we did not go a minute without lifting our hearts to heaven and begging God to help us. And again, we don't live in that state all the time, but we've been there. We know what it is to have a loved one that's sick and dying. We know what it is to maybe lose a child. We know what it is to have a heartache that we can't take any place else but to go to God and beg Him for His blessing, beg Him for His protection, beg Him for His wisdom, beg Him for His strength. And we were talking at lunch, you know what? We need to live in that state. We need to live in the state that we need God. We need to live in the state. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. And again, I would remind you, the Bible says when we live in that state, that's when we please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And when we get to the point where we say, I have apprehended, I have arrived, we forget we need God. And God says, okay, like we were talking about this morning, I used to know you because you were always knocking at my door. You were always sending your prayers up, asking for my help. I used to know you. I mean, there were some days you didn't let an hour pass where you kept coming back to the throne of grace, and you kept coming back, and you kept coming back, and you kept coming back. And I can't help but wonder if He says sometimes, where you been? I haven't heard from you lately. I know you think you got everything you need, and I was thinking as I left lunch today, you know, in a second, God could take away everything. He could take away everything. I mean, He could say, you think you got it made? You think you don't need me anymore? You think you can get by without me? Let me show you. Let me show you. He did that to Israel over and over and over again. when they thought they had arrived, when they thought they had apprehended, when they thought they had attained, and that they didn't need God anymore. He just took everything away from them and said, let me show you. You still need me. You still need me. And so tonight, never, never, never turn back. Just keep going. Just keep keeping on. Just keep depending on God and never, never, never turn back. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. And I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us that you love us. You would remind us that you have a plan for our life, and sometimes that plan includes hardship. Sometimes that plan includes things we wouldn't pick or can't understand. But, Father, you have a purpose, and I pray that we'd never quit. We'd never give up. We'd never turn back. We'd say, like the Apostle Paul, I just keep pressing toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I know I haven't spoken a salvation message, but I know, Holy Spirit, that when somebody's here and they're lost, that you speak to them. You convict them of their sin. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of His glory. You help them understand there's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is death, being separated from our Creator, the one that made us, the one that wants a relationship with us. And Father, help them to get a picture of the cross, the price that was paid by your Son for our salvation. Every sin was laid upon him, and he paid for every single one of them. And again, Father, if there's just one person here tonight that's never asked Jesus for that gift that he purchased for them on Calvary, please help them do it tonight. Help them walk the aisle in just a minute, and we'll take the Bible, and from the Bible, show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Please bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.